She also now heads the former All the Washington Cheerleaders of the Past and all the alumni in charge of the marketing and director for that. And it really appreciate her time here as a guest here today as Melanie Coburn joins us. Melanie, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, first off, you know, we talk about it a lot, but down here, one of our regular guests, and Pete wanted me to ask you as we get things kicked off, but Joe Theismann is an avid guest, and he joins us all the time, and great, great man. And I know he has a lot of ties to the team. Do you still get to see him and what he's been doing with Washington when he goes back up there?
You know, I don't actually. I definitely saw him around the various, back then, Redskins events that I would attend and met him at several promotions and appearances and things of that nature. But I actually haven't really been involved with the team since I left in 2011, other than in the capacity of helping with the cheerleaders and their auditions and things of that nature. I actually left the football team in 2011. So I was the marketing director from 2001 to 2011.
Melanie, when you look right now at what's been going on, a lot of people understand the NFL is a multi-billion dollar league, and it's not always fair. We've seen guys get suspensions for a couple games for evident videos that should have probably got more, and other guys get suspended a whole season for maybe smoking. It's been that way for years, and everything that Roger Goodell and the NFL has done is definitely not perfect. But at the same time, individual teams are run differently. And I know you've been pretty vocal about discussing Washington and a lot of the things behind the scenes, what happened recently with the emails being leaked and John Gruden, somebody that I knew in Tampa and seems to be a fun-loving guy. It does not condone what was sent in those emails, but I think if we grabbed everybody's phones today, there would be a lot of things that people would probably not want read about even their parents or their friends or their loved ones because they thought that was private with someone else, and all of a sudden this one is leaked. But talk a little bit about that and what you're doing right now, because I think you're representing a voice bigger than just Washington on this issue and the issues that stem from the Washington organization.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I do believe that this issue, like you said, is way bigger than just the Washington football team or the NFL. I mean, the NFL is a microcosm of society. And, you know, there are these issues everywhere. I mean, we're seeing it in the NBA, we're seeing it in the NHL, we're seeing a lot of these issues coming to light. And, you know, I believe that is how progress is going to come. And that's sort of why I've been so vocal about this. You know, there were over 150 men and women in the Washington football team's history that came forward in this investigation. And I will tell you, there's many others that I know that didn't come forward with their pretty terrible stories because they didn't think that the NFL was handling it, you know, correctly. So I think that there's a lot more out there. The emails that, you know, surfaced regarding Gruden, obviously the things that he said, I would never condone those. I think they're terrible as well, and he should be held accountable for the things that he said. And like you said, I'm sure there's lots of things in emails from 10 or 15 years ago that we may have written that, you know, would no longer fly today, but we're not going to learn unless we really dive into those emails, dive into that culture, and try to improve on it.
And talking about this from a cheerleading standpoint, a lot of people, they look at it, being a cheerleader is something that the excitement, the passion. My daughter is six, and she, well, is about to turn six, and she takes dance and cheerleading and is so proud to show me her new moves and everything she's learned from even her classes in ballet, what a pirouette. I've learned things that I didn't even know existed, and I can't try. I don't have the balance to do it either. But when it comes down to talking about having a chance to be a cheerleader in the NFL, talk a little bit about that and what comes into it, because I know a lot of times it's one where you do the games on Sunday, but a lot of these girls have other jobs as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it was a childhood dream of mine to be a Redskins cheerleader. Back then we were called the Redskinettes, and I remember watching them and just being in awe of them. And I was a gymnast and a dancer growing up, and I encourage anybody interested in becoming an NFL cheerleader, it's mostly dance. There are some teams that do stunting as well, and there are a lot of co-ed teams out there now. So, you know, gymnastics, dance, stunting, those are the types of things that they look for. But yeah, in order to make the Redskins squad back in the day, you had to have a full-time job, be a full-time mother or student. And this was sort of, you know, this was a hobby. This was a passion. This was not a job. It was not a gig. When I started cheering, we got a season ticket and like $50 a game. And that doesn't pay for all the practices and all of the appearances and all the extra things that we did for the team. So it was very much, you know, a hobby. We were not really compensated accordingly. It wasn't until the last 10 years, really, where they, you know, there were some class action lawsuits from the Raiders and the Buffalo Bills organization, which used to be called the Jills. And, you know, they fought for a minimum wage, and ultimately they won. Unfortunately, the Bills let that program sort of fizzle away. But Raiders and then all the other NFL teams that had cheerleading squads followed suit and started compensating. So, I mean, I think that's great. It's a first step. I do believe they deserve more. But, you know, I think as the years go by and we continue to fight and make our voices heard, I think that progress is being made. And I'm hoping that teams will continue to value the squads that they have and what they bring to the table. Because a lot of the teams, and I was one of them, you know, we represented the team, the community. We were the ones, you know, visiting the hospitals and entertaining the troops and making all the charitable appearances and events of that nature. And so we really were ambassadors for the team. You know, the players are busy practicing and, you know, they've got lots of other things going on. So we were really an extension of the team in that way.
And a lot of times, is it different in every locker room? I'm sure you became friends with a lot of the other teams. I think most teams in the NFL today, I think there was only a few, the Pittsburgh Steelers and I want to say Cleveland. There's a few teams that do not, but most every team has a cheerleading squad. When it comes down to it, did you find yourself what you were talking about with Washington and the culture behind the scenes, that was the same everywhere? Or were a lot of girls, just like in the NFL, you'd much rather play in a city like a Miami or an LA based on the culture, the weather, than a place like Buffalo sometimes, just based on the kindness of life and Mother Nature? Did you feel the same way with a lot of the cheerleaders you talked to, or did you talk to a lot of them around the nation?
So back then, unless you went to the Pro Bowl, which was something each team handled differently, but the Redskins organization would allow the cheerleaders to vote. So the squad would vote for their Pro Bowl leader each year, and they would go off to the Pro Bowl game and meet all of the other team's representatives there. Other than that, we didn't really interact with anybody. We only cheered at home games. So it was very much a, you know, home field advantage, and really we were in our community, serving our communities, but we weren't really interacting with other NFL squads per se. When I have spoken with other coaches and cheerleaders, you know, since my time and more in the leadership side of it, because we did have NFL directors meetings annually where we would all get together and share ideas and brainstorm and that you know, all of that. And hearing their stories, yes. There is a lot of, you know, we're fighting a lot of the same fight. You know, we're fighting to get compensation for our employees, to get, you know, to get just access and be included in ways and have representation on the website and have, you know, the best social media and like all that. So, I mean, I think, you know, yes, we've shared some war stories, but in terms of me, like, personally connecting with other NFL cheerleaders during my time cheerleading, it really was more of just the sisterhood within the Washington organization when I was there.
Speaking with Melissa Coburn, kind enough to make time for us today, former Washington Redskins cheerleader and now the charge of marketing and the director for the Washington Alumni of Cheerleaders as well, worked with the organization for over a decade. And Melissa, when you look right now at what's going on and everything, Melanie, I apologize. I don't know why I'm calling you Melissa here. I'm looking down at my head's going 500 ways here. But Melanie, when we talk about everything going on right now with the organization and looking inside of it, is this something that you believe that at one point the NFL will be able to crack the surface? You've really been on the foreground about talking about having a chance for at least to be heard. I know we take baby steps every day in society and in life on trying to do the right thing, equality. And I, like I said, I've got a 5-year-old daughter I'd do for anything for, and I'd fight for equality for everything. But we also got to be realistic with the terms. When people say things like the WNBA players should make as much as the NBA, that's not true, because it's all about supply and demand. And the tickets are going for, you know, $200 a piece at in a Laker game, where you can get them for $5 at a WNBA. So it's all about that. You got to look into everything. At the same time, do you feel we're ever going to be able to crack that in the NFL, knowing that the power of the owners is to take care of the teams and the teams to take care of the owners? Because it seems like that. We saw what happened with Jerry Richardson and some of the situations in Carolina. But is this going to be a situation where you think at Washington and other teams that we will be able to get this to the surface? Because I think it's unfair that John Gruden, in this case, not to condone what he did, is the only one, when we got 650,000 other things that could expose a lot more to this situation.
Right. Well, I think that there's a whole lot more that we're not seeing, which is why they are being so protective of the findings. I do believe the truth. The truth shall set you free, right? Like, I think the more we know, the more that the other owners know, the sponsors know, the fans know, the more likely this won't repeat itself. You know, it's one thing to say we're making the right hires, we're changing our culture, but the culture starts at the top, and the same person's been running that organization for the last 21 years down into the ground. And unfortunately, you know, he was around. He let that culture fester, and the toxicity that was there and occurred there, and I saw it, and I, you know, I experienced it firsthand, and I've got, you know, war stories from many, many other colleagues. And you know, if you were to know, and a lot of people are saying, like, oh, why aren't you sharing it? Why aren't you sharing it? Well, most of us sign these ridiculous NDAs, and they were waived as a part of the investigation. The NFL waived them. But they were waived for the investigation, and that's it. Like, we're not supposed to be talking to the media. We're not, you know, this is also a problem, I think, for me personally, that I've become passionate about. I think that we should be, you know, these broad NDAs should be narrowed, and there should be legislation sort of limiting what these NDAs can protect from organizations, because they're used in a threatening way, and I think that, you know, they condone bad behavior.
Well, I think one thing, Melanie, you're doing is you're speaking up against a juggernaut of a lot of people that would be afraid to do so. I feel like your voice is more than just a voice for people out there that might be looking at getting into the NFL as a cheerleader long term or joining an organization. You're trying to change a movement that is bigger than just football, and doing it in a way, too, that's realistic and understandable, because, you know, we've talked about it, and there's some people over the last 2 years that have pushed for many movements, and whether you believed in that movement or not, you might not have believed in the way the certain groups were doing it, because they didn't have everybody's best interest at heart. I can't say the same for what you're doing, because it seems like you're truly wanting the truth for people. You're wanting a better type of environment for the people that are working there, fair treatment. Nothing, like you said, to get minimum wage doesn't sound like a stretch when you're making $40 million as a quarterback, or guys in the organization, Roger Goodell, who doesn't have to put his contract out there. The only reason we get to see all that stuff is because the Green Bay Packers are publicly owned. If they weren't, we'd probably be in a lot of trouble with getting that information. But the thing is, it's one where you see the guys like that screw up left and right, and they're making $50, $60 million a year, but you guys are fighting for minimum wage. That doesn't make any sense, and it's not fair. So I appreciate what you do. I hope you continue to do it, and us here at ESPN Pensacola and everybody, I hope, at Washington is behind you on this one.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes, you know, we've felt very supported through this process. The media, you know, journalists and lots of people have been compassionate and wanting to share our story, and we're really appreciative for that. And I do believe that's how change will come. We just need to keep pushing for the truth and know that, you know, change will follow.
Do you have a certain name while we're on the topic of what you would like Washington to be called now that the Redskins is off the table?
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people love Washington Warriors. I know that apparently that name might be off the table, but I don't know. You know, it's such a tough thing for me. I grew up singing Hail to the Redskins. I still can't stop saying it. And, you know, I feel like I'm justified in telling people because I did work for the Washington Redskins. But yeah, it's a really tough thing for me. Maybe the Red Tails. I mean, I think I like the history of that and the fact that we're the nation's capital, and you know, it just seems to fit. There's a lot of military appreciation within our team. And I know that's been a huge passion for the Washington football team cheerleaders. I actually personally went on 10 overseas tours myself to over 35 countries. And, you know, that was a huge passion of mine, was to give back and show appreciation for the military. So I think that would be kind of a cool name for us.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. And I think that's something where, whatever name it is, there's always going to be the history. I see Pete and all those guys each and every week. They're at our Beef O'Brady's tailgate zone and getting to see. And they, it doesn't matter. You got a 21-year-old kid or a 70-year-old person out there. They're doing Hail to the Redskins. And, you know, it's all walks of life, all colors. One of the guys in there is a Native American himself. And just, you know what, I'm not getting involved. I always tell things, I got way more important things to deal with than to argue with somebody for hours. I can see when some people say the Redskin name can offend people. At the same time, I can see the other side, that for 90 years it was fine and they had the blessing of a lot of the Native American Indians. So I just, like I said, I got too many things. After a while, when you can't win a battle, I just sort of just say, you know what, I pick and choose the ones that are the most important to me and my family.
Absolutely.
Melanie, I appreciate it, and thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to maybe doing this again in the future. We wish you the best of luck. Been following your stories on all the major outlets from Fox News and more, and I wish you the best in everything you do and success as you guys continue to grow the alumni chapter and everything that you do in the city of Washington.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.